Gruen, G-R-U-E-N. The Precision Watch dedicates to the radio audience of America, Warner Brothers Academy Theater. Transcribed from Hollywood.
Warner Brothers Academy of Acting presents the dramatic story, The House on 56th Street, with Sheila Bromley, Kay Withers, and the Warner Academy players. As guest star of the evening, Miss Margaret Lindsay. Yes, once again, you are invited to join our exclusive audience in the Academy Theater. And your host for the evening is Gruen.
Now that summer weather is here, the call of the outdoors is hard to resist. Some of us shoot a round of golf right after breakfast. Some strike out for the woods and streams. Some read or just doze in the sun, while others get in a game of tennis or softball right after work. No matter what the activity or the time of day, a Gruen Curve X wristwatch takes to sports as quickly and easily as you. And here's the reason why. It's curved to hug your wrist and never slides around or gets in your way. What's more, this streamlined beauty gives you the accuracy of a pocket watch because the movement, as well as the curse, is curved. You get a sturdy, full-size precision movement that entirely fills the walls of the gracefully arched wrist form case. When your Gruen jeweler shows you the Gruen Curve X wristwatch, when you see how its practical streamline seems to fit the needs of any outdoor activity, you'll understand why it is known as the world's first true wristwatch. And when you see how these revolutionary timepieces are handsomely designed for men and styled to appeal to women, you'll understand why Gruen Curve X wristwatches are perfect gifts for everyone. So whether you spend your time indoors or out, you'll want to possess a Gruen Curve X. Look for the name C-U-R-V-E-X on the dial of every Gruen Curve X wristwatch.
The House on 56th Street with Sheila Bromley, Kay Winters, and the Warner Academy players. The curtain rises.
The story of the House on 56th Street has its beginning when Dolly Martin, beautiful Floridora girl of the gay 90s, meets the suave and sophisticated man about town, Lyndon Fisk, for the last time.
More champagne?
No.
Oh, you're serious. Has something happened? You're not upset about anything?
I want to talk to you, Lyndon.
And I'd say it's about time. 3 nights this week I missed seeing you. I'm even beginning to believe that patience is my virtue. And I never thought I had any virtues. Well, you better have some more champagne, Dolly, and then we'll drop in at Delmonico's. And...
Lyndon, listen to me. We're going to say goodbye.
Not for long, I hope.
Forever, this time.
I understand. It's Monty Van Tile, hmm? He's cutting in on me. Well, he has youth on his side, and youth must have its fling.
I'm in love with him.
If you'll take the advice of someone who's been around a lot, Dolly, you'll not let your feelings for Monty go too far. I've loved you a long time in my own way, but Monty, in a year, he'll be tired of you. Naturally, he'll amuse himself with you until the right girl comes along to marry. Then over you go.
We're going to be married next week.
Oh. But you'll never make a go of it, Dolly. I know the Van Tile family. They'll not let you get away with it.
Monty loves me. I know he does. And I'm not marrying his family.
I'll miss you.
And I'll always be grateful to you for these years.
I'm not going to give up. I wish you happiness, Dolly, but somehow I can't give up.
And so the story begins. We first see the house on 56th Street as Dolly, the radiantly happy Mrs. Monty Van Tile, sees it as they return from their honeymoon.
There it is, my precious, our house. How do you like it?
It's beautiful. Oh, it's the loveliest house I...
Well, come on. Let's go up the stairs and open the door.
Oh, yes.
Wait till you see the inside. All the time that we've been away, they've been building this for us to come back to. Oh, I think I have a key here someplace.
Oh, I'm so excited. Monty, I hope I don't cry.
Oh, here it is. There. Oh, but wait. A good old custom says that a bride should be carried over the threshold of her new home.
Oh, dear Monty.
Here you go. And down you go. Welcome, Mrs. Van Tile, to your house on 56th Street.
Oh, I want to see everything all at once. Upstairs, downstairs. It's such a wonderful house, Monty. I'd like to sit right down on the floor and pat it.
If it pleases you, Dolly, that's all I can ask for.
I know. I know that I never want to leave this house. I want to live here always.
And so you shall. You belong here, Dolly. Somehow it fits you. This will always be your house, no matter what happens. it'll really belong to you.
2 years pass by. Dolly and her husband have been supremely happy, even though the Van Tile family has steadfastly refused to recognize the marriage. Then, one eventful morning...
Mother! Well, this is really a surprise.
Hello, Monty. I simply had to come. Tell me, how are they?
Well, this is the first time you've been in our house. Is this a peace offering or just curiosity?
Monty, that's all forgotten now. I want to see Dolly and the child.
All right, Mother. I know Dolly will be happy that you're here. She's looked forward to this day for a long time.
Oh, she's beautiful.
We think so, don't we, dear?
You bet. Of course, it's a little early to know if she's going to look like me.
Monty. As a matter of fact, I can see quite plainly she's a living image of her grandmother.
And so happiness came to the house on 56th Street. 4 more years went by. Dolly took her place in the social life of the Van Tile family and their friends. The child, Eleanor, grew into a fine youngster. Then, one morning, there came to Dolly an awakened echo from the past.
Here's the note for you, madame.
Thank you, Clark.
It came by messenger. The young man is waiting for an answer.
Oh, well, just a moment. I'll read it.
And Mrs. Van Tile is waiting, too. She asked that you come down because tea at the Ralstons is at 5.
Tell her I'll be right there. Oh, Clark, will you tell the boy...
Oh, darling, I do hate to rush you, but... Is something wrong?
No. No, Mother, but I can't go to the Ralstons. Do you mind?
Well, they're expecting you.
But something's come up.
Madame, what message did you say there was to the boy?
But never mind. I'll go tell him myself. Goodbye, Mother.
It was good of you to come, Dolly. I knew you wouldn't fail me.
But your note said that you were desperately ill.
I am.
Well, surely the doctor didn't tell you to get well on champagne.
Oh, this. Will you have some?
No, thanks. This wasn't fair of you, Lyndon. I came because your note was alarming. I shouldn't be here. I hate hiding things.
After 4 years, Dolly, you don't give me much encouragement.
I shan't see you again.
Please. It means so much. I'm old and tired. Terribly tired. I've little enough to look forward to. Some mornings when I wake up and realize there's another day ahead of me, I think I can't go through with it.
You mustn't talk that way.
Why?
Well, because you have all the money you'll ever want. You can go places and see things.
I didn't lie in the note I sent you, Dolly. The doctor has given me 6 months, maybe less.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right. Now it's all right. I've seen you again.
But the champagne. Oh, you should take care of yourself.
Oh, it's the first I've had in a long time. It reminds me of the last night we were together. Are you happy, Dolly?
Completely happy.
I've passed your house on 56th Street. I've stood and looked at it more times than you'll ever know. And I wondered if you were happy.
Lyndon, if you'd take care of yourself, perhaps...
When they pass sentence on a man, they give him anything he wants. The doctor passed sentence on me this morning. Oh, what a fool I was to give you up. I could have asked you to marry me. That was my mistake. I know that now. You're the one person on earth I've loved, Dolly. Loved desperately, passionately.
Oh, you're being unfair. I'm going, and I shan't come back again.
So you're passing judgment on me, too. There is a way. I've been thinking about it, planning it. In this drawer, there is something even more final than your goodbye.
Lyndon, what are you going to do? Put down that gun.
This gun will do something that you won't. End my loneliness.
Stop, you mustn't.
No, go away.
Lyndon, I won't let you.
Stand away from me, you can't stop me.
Lyndon!
Will the attorney for the prosecution please continue his questions to the defendant?
Mrs. Van Tile. Is it not true that you deliberately and at your own will went to the apartment of the deceased, Lyndon Fitz?
Well, yes, but only because I received a message that he was...
But you have failed to produce that message in court.
Yes, because I tore it up and threw it away.
You threw it away because you thought your husband would be angry, isn't that right?
Well, I thought he might not understand.
Would you expect a husband to understand his wife's actions when she goes to visit her former lover alone in his apartment?
But that isn't true.
You did go to his apartment.
Yes, but he...
And he was your lover. Answer, Mrs. Dolly Van Tile. Was Lyndon Fisk your lover?
Yes, but... Oh, that was years ago. Years ago.
Now tell the court this. Didn't you shoot Lyndon Fisk because you were afraid he might tell your husband that you'd come to see him again?
No, 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 that isn't true.
Then why did you shoot him?
But I didn't. I tell you, I didn't shoot him. He took the gun out of the drawer. I struggled with him. I tried to stop him, but he pulled the trigger. He pulled the trigger.
As an answer to that statement, I'm sure that we need only remind the court that when the sole witness in this case, the butler of the deceased man, came into the room. Mrs. Van Tile was standing over the body of Lyndon Fisk with a gun in her hand.
X-ray, X-ray, society woman convicted in big murder.
X-ray, X-ray, Dolly Van Tile found guilty.
X-ray, X-ray, convicted woman given 20 years in Auburn prison.
Van Tile, there's someone to see you.
No. No, I don't want to talk to anyone.
It's your husband.
Oh.
He's through there in the next room. He's arranged to see you alone. You'd better talk with him. He'll be leaving for Auburn early in the morning.
I will talk with him. Thank you.
Right through there.
Hello, Monty.
Darling, I've tried to see you before, but they wouldn't let me.
I know. They're taking me to Auburn tomorrow.
Sit down here. Do you feel all right, dear?
Yes. I'm through crying. There's only an empty feeling left. How is Eleanor?
Fine, just fine. She didn't know anything about the trial. She's with Mother.
Oh, take care of her, Monty. Please take care of her.
You won't have to worry about that.
Oh, why did this have to happen to us? We were so happy, Monty. There can't be any reason for such a horrible thing to come and take away our happiness. Oh, there's so much I want to tell you. Oh, there's so little time.
I talked to the lawyers this morning. They're doing all they can. Maybe even now.
No, it's no use. It's sweet of you to give me that hope, dear. But I know.
I'll wait for you, darling.
No, you mustn't do that. Forget me. It's best for Eleanor. And 20 years, Monty. That's too long to wait. Monty, it can't change things, but it would help if you believed I told the truth when I was in the courtroom.
I do. I never believed anything else for an instant.
I'm glad of that. You see, I couldn't live through those years ahead thinking that you believed like the others.
Oh, I love you so. I always will.
Darling. Darling. Now tell me about the baby. I have to know that. You have to take care of her, Marty. She's so very little.
Mother wants to take her and bring her up. Send her to school in Europe so that...
So some stupid fool won't tell her about me. And that's better. But when she does find out... And someday she will.
Well, Mother said that we should...
You don't have to say it, Monty. I understand. If she grows up into a fine young woman, and I know she will, you tell her, Monty, that her mother... Well, that she doesn't live anymore.
We're closing up the house on 56th Street. I could never bear to walk into that house again.
Sorry, but the time's up.
Oh, darling. Darling!
I'm going now, Monty. Oh, no. No, don't say goodbye. You just sit there and look out of the window while I go.
And the curtain falls on the first act of the Warner Academy presentation, The House on 56th Street. The curtain rises on the second act of The House on 56th Street.
Slowly the years roll by. Slowly for the convicted girl who lives in a world of four blank walls and iron bars. But the world outside spins at a dizzy pace. The United States enters the World War. The armistice is signed. The 18th Amendment adopted. And still the convicted girl sits quietly in her own locked-in world until one day...
Did you want to see me, Warden?
Yes, yes. Come in, Dolly. Come in and sit down. This is Mr. Baxter. Dolly, you're going to be released next week. The parole board has recommended it, and that's final.
Oh, Warden, you're not just saying that. You wouldn't do that to me, would you?
Of course not. You're going to be free, Dolly. One more week, and you'll be into the world again.
With no strings? You mean I can just walk out of here? Like that?
Just like that.
Say, I think I will sit down. I feel awfully weak all of a sudden.
Mr. Baxter here is an attorney.
I represent the Van Tile interests.
Oh.
And we were notified that you were to be free a few days ago. I came to perform a mission that has been entrusted to me since the death of Mrs. Van Tile.
Can I ask about Monty and the baby?
Well, she isn't a baby any longer, but a young lady and very happily married to a fine young man named Burgess. But we both understand, Mrs. Van Tile, that you're to make no attempt to communicate with your daughter.
No, of course not. And Monty?
I thought you'd been notified. He was killed in action during the war.
I'm sure he was a fine soldier.
And now I have the pleasure of informing you that a check for $5,000 is to be given to you the day you leave here. Your husband made the arrangements. He took a policy out in your name when he went to war.
Thank you. Thank you, Marty.
Freedom. And another year passes. Dolly Van Tile has assumed the name of Mrs. Stone to avoid publicity. And because the temptation to see her daughter was so great, she has deliberately kept out of New York, traveled for a whole year. But now she returns, her money nearly all gone, and on the very first day of her return, she is drawn, as if by some unseen magnet, to the old house on 56th Street. She, who once lived there, stands in front of the house in the early afternoon, a flood of memories rushing about her.
Looking for someone?
What? Oh, no.
You got any business here?
No.
Well, we don't open till around 5.
You don't know? I don't believe I understand.
Say, what is this? Who are you? What are you doing standing here on the steps?
Nothing. Just looking. I once knew the people who lived in this house. I was wondering who lived here now.
That's a laugh. I thought everybody in New York was wise to this layout. Yeah, you look okay. Come in and I'll show you around. Say, if you got a few bucks, we could have a little game before the crowd gets here.
Once again, the door to the house on 56th Street swung open for Dolly, but only her memories were the same. New York, in the pleasure-mad post-war era of speakeasies, had found in the old house a perfect setting for a fashionable gambling salon. Blaine, the man she met on the steps, took a quick interest in Dolly, and after showing her through the house, took her to the private office of Bonelli, the boss.
Bonelli, I want you to meet Mrs. Stone.
How do you do? Your first time here?
Yes.
Well, it's a little early yet, but if you'd like to play, why...
Wait a minute, Bonelli. Mrs. Stone didn't come here to gamble. I found her on the steps. She used to know the folks who lived in this house.
Oh. Well, we're not accustomed to purely social calls.
Wait, you don't get it, boss. Mrs. Stone is busted, broke. I asked if she wanted to play, and she said she didn't have any money.
Sounds like a trick to me. Who sent you here?
No one.
She'd make a great front for the layout. I thought we might give her a job.
You want to work in this house?
Yes, I do.
Take a look at her, Bonelli. You can see for yourself. She looks like she belongs here.
All right. Stick around. We'll see.
And the wheel of fate decreed that Dolly should once again be the hostess in the house on 56th Street. Night after night, the crowds came to laugh, to drink, and gamble until dawn. Mrs. Stone did her job well. Bonelli watched her. And then one night, the wheel of fate took another dizzy turn.
Mrs. Stone, I called you in here to tell you that I'm going to give you another raise. Just to show you that I appreciate the job you've been doing for.
Thanks.
There's something strange about you. I can't make it out. You work here all night, then you hang around the house most of the day. Don't go anyplace. You must like it here.
I do.
Yeah. Big crowd tonight?
Yes. I haven't been downstairs yet, but Blaine sent word up that there's a big society crowd in the front room.
Come in.
Oh, Bonelli, I think you better know about this. There's a dame downstairs losing plenty. She's out of dough already, and we've taken 15 grand of her IOUs.
Who is she?
Well, her name's Burgess. She's married, but her husband's not with her. She's with a crowd. Eleanor Burgess, that's her name.
What?
I said Eleanor Burgess, that's her name.
What's the matter, Mrs. Stowe? Anything wrong?
No.
Well, what'll I do, boss?
See if you can get a line on her husband. If he's got plenty of dough, keep on taking the IOUs. He'll settle. Don't worry.
Okay.
Oh, just a moment, Blaine. go down with you.
So it was that Dolly saw her daughter once again. She stood by the table while Eleanor played, desperately trying to regain her losses. Time and time again, she started to speak to the girl. She wanted to tell her to stop, but she couldn't win. But she held back, afraid that she would betray her own emotions. Later, when the others had gone, Eleanor Burgess sat with Blaine and Dolly in Bonelli's office.
But I will pay you.
When? $25,000 is a lot of money.
Well, in a week or two. Oh, I've explained a dozen times. I don't dare tell my husband about losing the money. But if you'll just be patient.
Why don't you let her go home, Blaine? She can come back later and we can talk about
it. Nothing doing. Say, maybe I'd better call your husband up and tell him to come right over. He could write out a check.
Oh, no. You wouldn't do that. No, you couldn't.
Just a minute, Blaine. I'm going downstairs and find Bonelli.
He's busy. He's checking up.
Well, I'm going to get him anyway. Don't worry, dear. We'll manage this.
Look here, youngster, cut out the stalling. You had your fun, and you've got to pay for it. You had no business losing that money if you couldn't come across.
But I will. Only my husband mustn't know.
I think he'd better. I'm going to call him up. Knowing his wife is down here with a bunch of IOUs, and might call for a little action.
Please wait.
It would surprise you to know that I got his number right here, right in this drawer. I found out all about your husband while he was losing that money tonight. You see, we don't take chances. See? There it is. What are you looking at? Oh, the gun, huh? Well, we keep that in the drawer, too, just in case of a tie.
No, no, you mustn't do that. You wouldn't understand.
Hello. Hello, I want to speak to Mr. Burgess.
Stop. Please stop.
He doesn't know me. It's personal.
Do you hear me? Stop.
What are you doing with that gun?
If you talk to my husband, I'll shoot.
Give me that gun.
Go back or I'll shoot.
Give me that gun, you little...
No,
fool.
No.
Give it to me. You hear, you little...
Eleanor, darling, what's happened?
Well, he was calling my husband.
You've got to get out of here.
Is he dead?
I don't know.
I saw the gun in the drawer. He was phony. He grabbed my...
Stop it.
But you don't know. It's what my mother did. She shot a man, killed him, and went to prison.
Don't worry, dear. Everything will be all right. Go back to your husband and stay out of places like this. I'm not going to let your life be ruined as your mother's was.
I didn't expect you to be my friend.
I hope someday you look back and know I was the best friend you ever had.
Well, he's dead.
Yes, I know.
Too bad. How did it happen?
We had an argument and I shot him.
You're lying. The girl did. I saw her running out when I came upstairs.
Oh, no, Bonelli, you're wrong. There wasn't any girl here. I did it.
I like a woman with nerve. And I liked you anyway from the very first day. I guess you knew that. Well, I don't hold any grief for Blaine. He was just a guy. A couple of the boys can take him for a ride, dump him off someplace, and the cops will say one of the gang bumped him off. Okay?
Thanks.
What happened to the IOUs? Did the girl that wasn't here take them with her?
I tore them up.
You're a strange woman. But I guess you're worth it. Anyway, you kind of fit this place. All I ask is that you stay here and work with me.
I will.
Well, I'll see you later. You drift around for a while I take care of him.
Thank you, Bonelli. I'll see you later. Monty. Monty. Wherever you are, I hope you know. I remember what you said that day. This is your house, darling. You don't have to leave it. Ever.
And the curtain falls on the story of The House on 56th Street. We are certain that you enjoyed the many fine performances and that you'll further enjoy meeting Sheila Bromley and Kay Winters in person in a few moments. Also, Miss Margaret Lindsay is coming on the stage to say a few words to the stars of tonight's show.
While we're waiting for Margaret Lindsay, we want to point out that summer is in the air, the time when every man turns to his favorite sport. Maybe it's horseback riding or casting in deep, cool pools. Maybe golf or midsummer skiing on northern mountain slopes. Whatever sport you follow, you'll find the new Gruen Wrist Side Curve X a perfect companion. Why? Because of the way it's made and the way it's worn. This wristwatch is deeply, steeply curved to give a sure, snug fit. Moreover, you wear it not on the top of your wrist or under the wrist, but at the side of your wrist, the natural place to wear a watch. A Wrist Side Curve X doesn't slide around. In a moment of tense action, there is no awkward twisting of your wrist to tell the time. You see the dial at the drop of the eye. Now, you might think that a wristwatch so steeply arched could not have a full-size movement. But this Wrist Side Curve X has, and what a sturdy, accurate movement it is. Curved to entirely fill the wrist form case, this large precision movement gives you pocket watch accuracy in a wristwatch of ultra-modern, streamlined beauty. See your Gruen jeweler at once and strap a Wrist Side Curve X to the side of your wrist. It's the perfect wristwatch for any man. Remember, a Wrist Side Curve X is a wristwatch made exclusively by Gruen. G-R-U-E-N, the proudest name in time.
One of the most charming and one of the busiest of Hollywood's leading ladies is Margaret Lindsay. Recently, she finished the role of a gal press agent in The Garden of the Moon, starring with Pat O'Brien. Now she is making three Broadway girls for the Brothers Warner, and despite this rush of activity, she very graciously accepted our invitation to join us at the Warner Academy Theater tonight. And here she is now, Margaret Lindsay.
No amount of work could have kept me away from this stage tonight. You know, The House on 56th Street is my favorite picture. And my first role in the Warner lot was that of Dolly's daughter. And Kay Winters, you were grand. I'm sure Kay Francis is listening tonight, and I know she'll be proud of you too, Sheila.
Thank you, Margaret. When are they releasing that picture about astrology that you made? What was it called?
When Were You Born? I imagine it should be in the theaters any day now.
Oh, that's the picture Manly P. Hall wrote, isn't it? I heard one of his lectures. Do you really believe in astrology, Margaret?
I haven't quite made up my mind about it yet. But think of this. Lily, an English astrologer, forecast the plague of London 6 years before it actually happened. And there was Rothschild. He forecast the Long Beach earthquake, and he's an Englishman who's never been in America.
I've heard that Benjamin Franklin was an astrologer.
He was. But the most astonishing astrological forecast in American history was the James Hope prophecy by another Englishman. In 1732, he forecast the birth of a man across the sea who would lead both bond and free.
And George Washington was born that year.
Uh-huh. James Hope forecast the date of Washington's death, the Civil War, and Lincoln's assassination.
He did all this by the stars?
So they say.
Then there may be something to astrology. I can't wait to see when were you born.
Well, my stars tell me that I've got to go now. So good night, and thanks for having me here.
You can see Margaret Lindsay and When Were You Born at your local theater this week. Don't miss this amazing picture, which for the first time presents astrology in its true aspect as one of the oldest sciences known to man. Decide for yourself whether or not the stars can and do rule your life. See When Were You Born at your local theater this week.
And now the Gruen Watch Company joins with your Gruen jeweler to bid you farewell as we come to the close of our final Academy Theater broadcast. We hope you have enjoyed our program, our stars, and our stories. We hope, too, that you have become acquainted with the Gruen jeweler in your neighborhood. And as the balmy summer weather draws you out of doors, remember Gruen's master craftsmen make watches to fill every need in social life, business, and recreation. So with best wishes for a delightful summer, the Gruen Watch Company says goodbye.
This series has been transcribed from Hollywood through the courtesy of Warner Bros., a feature of the Transamerican Broadcasting System.